All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. It has been a while, folks, but enough of the nonsense. It's time to get back in the groove and get back to doing what we do. It has been a busy summer. Had a lot going on, you know, with my kids out of school, family vacations, all that stuff. And it was great. I've had a great summer. It's been fun. But I am ready to get back into the rhythms. I'm ready to get back into the routine. I'm ready to get back into the structure of football and game weeks. And, you know, I know the players obviously have that. They're going through training camp right now. But once the games start being played, which they will next week for the Bucs, although there's one tonight in the Hall of Fame game as I record this on Thursday afternoon. But once that gets going, then that structure comes into place. And, you know, I've said this so many times on this show before, but maybe I need to get a life. Maybe my life is too reliant on other people playing football for structure. But I have to admit, things just seem to kind of line up better once August hits, and certainly September, October, November, December. That's just, everything just, it works, you know? It just works better. And so, I don't know about you, and I love summer. It's been a great summer, and it's not over. Pool's still sitting there. It's still going to be 8,000 degrees for a while. But now there's going to be football as the backdrop to all of it, as it should be. So I'm so glad to be back. Like I said, it's been a long time since our last show. Thanks for joining the Free Stretch. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. And, you know, we got a lot to get to, obviously, as the Bucs continue to go through their training camp practices and things like that. They did not actually have practice today. They were off today, which is, I think, their first day off since they started training camp. They were in the indoor facility yesterday. Then they'll get back at it again tomorrow, which is Friday, and they play an actual football game a week from Saturday when they host the Dolphins at Raymond James Stadium. One of three preseason games, of course, the only one that's at home, then the next two are on the road. Then the first two regular season games are on the road, and that's going to put the Bucs away from Raymond James all the way until week three after this preseason game. And, of course, you won't see Tom Brady in that one. You won't see a few other starters as well, head coach Todd Bowles. Still getting used to saying that, by the way. Head coach Todd Bowles had said that earlier in the week. So let's go to the top, though, first of all, okay? Because we're here. We're getting ready to start the 2022 season. The Bucs won the Super Bowl two seasons ago. Last season, they had a disappointing loss in the divisional round, but they got to the divisional round, and they were right there in the middle of it. And obviously, we all remember that game, and one play either way, it could have changed it. So the point is, here we are right now. The Bucs are one of the favorites, and I'm not going to say they're the favorite, but they're one of the favorites, if not in the NFL, certainly in the NFC. They're one of the top three or four, I would say, favorites going in. And I don't know what's going to happen in the 2022 season at all. They might go 8-9 or something like that. But the point is, it's so much fun to just be in the middle of it. It's so much fun to be relevant. It's so much fun to be one of those teams, one of the teams that matters, one of the teams that has a chance, one of the teams that's there, you know? And I say this all the time. Being there is the biggest part of it. We all want to win championships all the time. Everybody wants that. But honestly, that can't be how it is for almost anybody. Even the Patriots lost more often than they won championships through all those years with Brady. Now, we have Tom Brady. We've won one championship in 2 years. That's pretty good. But my point is, you know, there's been a lot of talk about everything going on with what happened this past week. If you didn't see, you know, the Dolphins were stripped of their first and third round draft pick in the upcoming draft. Only the third time in NFL history, by the way, that a team has lost a first round draft pick for off-field stuff, disciplinary reasons. And by the way, all three have involved Tom Brady. 2008 was Spygate. Now, it wasn't Brady's fault, but it involved Brady. 2015 was Deflategate, which did directly involve Brady, and now this, which also directly involves Brady. So he was talking to the Dolphins. We went through this before about maybe going down there to be a part owner, maybe playing for Sean Payton and being the quarterback, and then maybe jumping into ownership after that, whatever. Now, this doesn't bother me even an itty bit as a Bucs fan, because, like I just told you, we need to savor every single, not just year, not even just month or week or even game, every series that Tom Brady is under center for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we need to savor it, because we are a team. All those things I just mentioned about being relevant, about being there, about being on, national TV about it. Just sitting here right now talking about a season coming up where we have a chance, or at least we think we have a chance, to win a championship. We're all those things every second that he's under center, and we weren't any of those things before he got under center, right? So he can talk to whoever the hell he wants. I really don't care. This is John Romano wrote a column in the Tampa Bay Times this week, and he said, you know, it's almost like a marriage where everybody's just kind of going through, okay, you know we're going to eventually break up. We're kind of staying together for the kids. Hey, fine. Flirt with people. Go talk. I don't care. Just come home at the end of the night, okay? And we can deal with that other stuff later. We ain't trying to be married forever over here, okay? We got Tom Brady right now. And so I don't care who talked to the Dolphins. I thought he was retired. I remember I was standing at the Gasparilla Parade right there on the railing. Looking through my phone, it was going through the crowd. Up, Brady retired. Stomach sank. I was like, oh, man. I mean, you can't be upset. It was fun while it lasted, but oh, man. Then he's coming back. Oh, my God, he's coming. Now we're one of those teams again, okay? And like I said, I don't know what's going to happen. The Bucs may not end up doing anything this year. But it feels really good to just be one of those teams, and that's where we're at right now. And it's a big deal. I mean, I know what happened with Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, you know, and the Dolphins taking the brunt of the punishment. The league, somebody named McCarthy, one of the league spokesmen said that they were focusing this whole investigation on ownership. Even people asking me, my mom even asked me, she's like, well, how come nothing happens to Tom Brady? Like, he's scot-free. Like, how does that work? And I said, well, you know, tampering is something that's considered, I mean, it's obviously not encouraged and it's not within the rules, but that's on an organizational level. Not that players are, you know, encouraged to do it or anything like that, but he's not the guy they're going to punish. It's going to be the organizations that do this type of thing. And the main thing with the NFL that they want to do that for, honestly, they have to just avoid the appearance of impropriety. They have to avoid, like, the same with the tanking. That, you know, Stephen Ross was accused of that, telling Brian Flores to dump games so they can get a better draft pick, which anytime you have a draft system that literally, they only have a lottery in the NFL, that literally just takes the team's records and puts them in reverse order, and that's your draft order. Yeah, you think you might, you know, instead of finishing 4-13 and missing the playoffs, you might want to finish 2-6 or 2-17, whatever it is, 2-15. 2-15 and miss the play. Yeah, I mean, of course. And I don't think anybody tanks, like players don't tank, but we all know organizations tank. Anybody who was around here the last game of the season before Jameis Winston was drafted by the Bucs, because remember, there was a time when that was like a big difference between Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. So you all remember that Saints game, right? The Bucs players didn't tank, but the Bucs had a lead at halftime, and mysteriously, it was Scrubsville in the second half. They played guys out of the stands in the second half, and miraculously, the Saints came back and won the game, and we picked first instead of second. Huh. You know. So, I mean, that's a form of tanking, and nobody encourages it, but, I mean, again, your system encourages it, if anything else. But the NFL doesn't want to have that appearance out there, so they got to come down hard on this stuff. I don't care. My point is, I don't care. Tom Brady's the quarterback here. As John Romano pointed out in his column in the Tampa Bay Times, he's not Antonio Brown. Yeah, maybe he did want to go to the Dolphins. Maybe his perfect scenario didn't include playing for the Bucs. But he's not going to pout now that he's playing for the Bucs again when he thought he might be able to do something else. He's going to go out and do what he always does. Or at least attempt to do what he always does. We hope he can keep replicating that. But it's 2022 Buccaneer football. We're sitting here on the cusp of another season. And it's not a season where we're hoping to rebuild. It's not a season where we're hoping to prove the experts wrong. It's not a season where we're coming off 10 losses and hoping, oh, maybe we'll be a little bit better. It's none of that stuff. We're one of the big dogs. And so are the Rams. So are the Packers. All that stuff, sure. But we're up there. And that is always, always, always to be celebrated, because if you've watched this team for any amount of time before the past two seasons, you know it has not always been like this. And very rarely has it actually been like this. So that's one reason I'm excited. And the Bucs have a good team outside of Tom Brady. He's not the only reason. Obviously, in the last week, things have happened. We all know about Ryan Jensen's injury. And from what it appears, although nothing has been officially named, you know, Robert Hainsey has stepped up. Nick Leverett's involved as well. And Leverett could also be looking at left guard. And they, you know, they're working on things. Stinney. But as far as replacing Ryan Jensen at center, there was all this talk about going on the outside and who can they bring in, this, that, and the other. And they may still yet, okay? I mean, it hasn't been decided, or at least if it has been, it hasn't been announced. So, I mean, they could go get somebody still. But from what I've talked to, who people I've talked to, from who the Joes have talked to, and Joe put up a story on this, you know, what's been read is that Hainsey's pretty good. And you drafted this guy in the third round. So, I mean, something like this happens with Jensen, it's terrible. You don't want that to happen. But when it does, well, what the hell did you draft a guy like that for? It's not like he's some free agent or somebody in the seventh round. You drafted him in the third round. You think he can play. Okay, go play. He's the center. And in Joe's piece that he wrote on the website, you might have read it, Joe pointed out that he was talking to Vita Vea the other day, and Vita Vea is not usually somebody who divulges a ton, not because he's not a nice guy or anything. He's worried he's going to say something he's not supposed to. But he was talking about Hainsey, who's been playing scout team all last year. So, like, Hainsey's been going up against Vea and all those guys in practice every day, you know, the past season. And he asked Vea about that, and Vea said, no, hey, seriously, he's good. He's a good player. I know Vita Vea is going to say that, but if you go read the article, like the way it was phrased and things like that, it gives you a little bit of hope. And he should be fine. I mean, I think he'll be fine. I don't think you have to go on the outside. Now, obviously, they have all that tape from the past year in all the practices. The preseason will offer them a chance to get more looks. But, you know, this doesn't have to be the end of the world. I feel horrible for Jensen. We all love Jensen. And he brings a certain something, even if Hainsey is very good and very competent. I mean, remember when Tom Brady announced his unretirement and he was coming back and we were all happy? And it was a matter of hours later. What was the first piece of news after that? You guys remember? It was Ryan Jensen, boom, re-ups with the Bucs. Like, it was all coming together again. So, I mean, it's a big deal. Like, Ryan Jensen matters to these guys beyond just his abilities to play center. And we know the attitude he brings. And, you know, he's a heart and soul type guy. And it always hurts to lose those guys. Even if you have competent replacements in your backups, it hurts to lose those guys. But I have faith. I mean, I'm not worried about that. There's things I'm worried about with this Bucs team, and that is not one of them. And overall, if you look at the moves they made in the offseason, yeah, it was pretty encouraging. I mean, I thought the Julio Jones move was really, really great to see, and I don't understand people criticizing that move when you consider that these moves are not like trades or anything like that or things where you give up capital. Like, it's literally, would you rather add Julio Jones or not? He's got a contract worth a few million, okay. They didn't have to, like, give up, like, capital. And he's a guy who may end up being really, really good. It's Julio Jones. And I heard all these people and saw all these people on Twitter, I don't really like this Julio Jones move. You're not going to get a full season out of him. He might get hurt, blah, blah. So what? What was it? Okay, so if he gets hurt, fine. It's the same as if you hadn't signed him at all then, right? It's not my $6 million. I mean, like, it's Julio Jones. And we have the chance to maybe add a guy who could really, really be. I know how old he is. I know his injury history. And even knowing all that, I actually would have given up things to get him, honestly. And they didn't have to do that. So I don't understand how you could be anything but pleased with a move like that. And, you know, every team should be all in all every year, right? You always want to think, oh, every team's trying their damnedest to win the Super Bowl. It's not always the case, but it really does feel good when you see your team being aggressive, right? Like, that's a great feeling because fans are always aggressive. They're not thinking about anything but right here, right now. When you're a GM or somebody like that, you've got more big picture stuff to think about. But, of course, the here and now is always important, too. And yet, when a GM and a team goes out there and does the same things fans are thinking, like they're just going balls out to win, that's a great feeling, right? So they got Julio Jones. Russell Gage, great signing. You know, Godwin has not been put on the PUP list, so he's not, like, out, but he also hasn't been practicing yet. They're going to be careful with him. But you still got Mike Evans, Russell Gage, and Julio Jones right now. So, like, you have a competent receiving core. That's before you get to Perriman and you know, anybody else, Cyril Grayson. You know, they've got guys who have all made some plays for this team. And we know Brady's made do with a lot worse than what he's got here before. And then you add Godwin back into that mix as soon as he gets back. And it's very, very encouraging. It's the most encouraging it's been since Antonio Brown was, like, fully all in as a Buccaneer. Which I guess wasn't that long ago, but it feels like a long time ago. So, encouraged there. Leonard Fournette, there was all the talk about his weight and all the, you know, all the fluff stuff in the offseason because nobody has anything else to talk about. He's fine. He's in great shape. Everybody's excited about Rashad White, draft pick from Arizona State. You know, it's running backs. It's fine. Offensive, like, outlook to me is good. Like, I think we're in a good spot. What does it always come down to? What's the one thing it always comes down to? I say this all the time, and it's so true. I'm not. You don't have to be Johnny Football X's and O's to know this. All right. It's pass rush. Everything pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. So we will see on that. Okay. That's the one thing where I've got, oh, there's question marks. Now we know Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, he's got the keys now to that side of the line. It's his. He's the guy, you know, and Jason Pierre-Paul, he wasn't getting it done anymore, but Jason Pierre-Paul had done it before. He had credentials. You can't call that a straight up, you know, I mean, hopefully he'll be better this year than Pierre-Paul was in his final couple years, but will he be as good as Pierre-Paul a couple years ago? You can't say that. Like, that's a seasoned NFL professional who had done it year after year, and Tryon Shoyinka is not that yet. Now, the early returns are great. I mean, he supposedly looked really good in practice. There's your first annual, quote-unquote, look great in practice, looks great in camp, blah, blah, blah. You hear that about at least a few players every year. But he really has looked good. And now he's going to get the reps and the snaps there as the number one guy to be able to prove that opposite of Shaq Barrett. So, okay, I'm optimistic about that. Like, that part I think we're upgrading this year. You know, Ndamukong Suh did not end up being retained, and he actually has not been signed by anybody. And, okay, you know, I get that. He's a little older and all that stuff, but I'm sorry. That one I'm worried about because Ndamukong Suh, right up until literally the very last snap of the 2021 season, or non-field goal snap at least, of the 2021 season, who was making a play? Who was one of the only ones making a play? Suh. He was the one pressuring Stafford on that over-the-top pass to Cooper Kupp. He was right there. He's the one that, I mean, he was making plays. He's a force. He's got the nastiness. He's got the attitude. He's not there anymore. And he's not easy to replace. And I know nobody else wanted him either. Okay, fine. Fair enough. But that doesn't mean we have an equivalent of him sitting there. So we'll see. You know, Vita Vea needs to step forward. He's been really good, but he also hasn't been, I mean, you know, he's been playing only like, I mean, more than half the snaps, but not two-thirds of the snaps. He's going to need to take a step forward this year and be this that dominant force you count on. And it can't just be a few downs. It's got to be, and he's got to be an every down guy. I know about Akeem Hicks and everything. That's a good pickup. Will Golston's been rock solid and everything like that, but not spectacular. And, you know, Logan Hall, of course, they drafted. We'll see. But to me, that's the big thing. Because I know we got the secondary. Feel good about the secondary. You know, everybody's healthy again, all that stuff. And I feel like we got the offense. But if you don't get after opposing quarterbacks, you'll get picked apart. It's not rocket science. Like I said, you don't have to be a football X's and O's savant to know these things. It's pressure, 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 pressure. We know that going back. I mean, how'd they win a Super Bowl? Pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Forcing Drew Brees to throw picks in the divisional game. Pressure, pressure. It's always coming back to that. I mean, that's the biggest thing. If you got that, you'll be okay. And especially with what else the Bucs have, if they can get a pass rush. So that's what I'm watching. And we won't know anything about that even in the preseason. But these are all the things we're looking at. So, you know, here we are. And, oh, by the way, I didn't get to the contact stuff. I'd love hearing from you guys. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BOBBYGAMEDAY, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On my to-do list, all right, and we got school starting next week, but I'm going to start working on it before that, but I'll have a little more time once school starts. I need to type up the fridge schedule, right? You all know that. You all have wanted the fridge schedule for several years running now. I've already gotten emails, even once the schedule came out, like in the spring, I got a few emails, and I have saved them all, so don't worry if you emailed me and I haven't sent you anything. I'm going to type my fridge schedule, which if you don't know what I'm talking about, I type up a big, beautiful fridge schedule. It fits on an 8.5 by 11 standard size sheet of paper. I put the logos of all the opponents. It's got all the date, the games, times, everything like that, the playoffs. It's perfect, and I've been doing that for years on my own. I mean, I was doing that in college, I remember, having fridge schedules. I used to cut it out of the newspaper back in the day, and then I started making my own. But only in the past few years have I said, hey, you know, it's an easy thing to just email somebody, right? So all I have to do is get your email. So email me at bobbygameday@yahoo.com. I'll type up the schedule soon, and I'll send it out to all of you as an attachment, and you can print it out. Color print, not only recommended, but really, truly encouraged. Don't print this thing out in black and white. It's too pretty not to. Use color. And then you'll have it on the side of your fridge, just the same as the My Fridge that I'm looking at right now here at One Game Day Place. I got the Rays schedule up there right now, the big six-month calendar-style baseball schedule. And that's staying through the end of baseball season. but going to move that to the side a little bit. Boom, the Gators schedule. I do the college teams too, and the Bucks. If you want the Gators, I'll send it to you. I don't really do anybody but those two, but I'll take requests maybe if you want USF or FSU or somebody. I enjoy doing it. I like the logos and stuff like that. It's fun to look at. So anyway, email me if you want one of those, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. You can also get me on Twitter at BobbyGameDay if you want to follow or comment, cushion, discussion, all that stuff. It's all always there. Hey, thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, by the way. Looking forward to the fantasy draft. We should be having it there soon in the showroom, just like always. But if you're looking for either a brand new or pre-owned car, truck, van, whatever it is, you need to first just get on your computer or your phone and go to BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can see everything there on their website. Okay, the completely transparent online, no-haggle pricing. Check out the inventory. I encourage you then to go in person after you see something you like. A mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. The showroom is gorgeous. The lot is huge. Again, they've got everything. It doesn't have to even be a Ford, but they've got Fords, of course. And they've got cars, trucks, vans, pre-owned, used, brand new, you name it. And no matter what you buy, you're going to want something. It's covered. Nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. That's the best part. If you've got a car that you purchased from Bill Curry Ford, it's not a year or 6 months or even 2 years or whatever. As long as you own the car you bought there, it could be years down the road, okay? Engine trouble. Just go back into the the service center. That's it. You don't have to worry about it. Like, it's covered. That's the best part. All those things that you can buy over there have that guarantee. So, again, go to the website first, BillCurryFord.com. Check them out a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway there on the east side of the road. They're just north of Hillsboro. Serving the Tampa Bay area for 60 years plus running now. And my good friend Sean Sullivan, I know he's fired up. You can hear some of his stuff, too, on JoeBucksFan.com. And he's always good to go for the season. So just keep that in mind if you're looking for a vehicle. In the meantime, like I said, I'm recording this on Thursday afternoon right now. By the time you hear this, it may have already happened, so a lot of you be listening to it on Friday or later. But real, live, honest-to-goodness NFL football on your televisions, starting with the Hall of Fame game tonight. That's the only game, so there won't be anything this weekend. You get this one last weekend coming up that's football-free. And from there, there's football of some sort. And I know it's preseason, okay? College is only a few weeks, so there's only three more Saturdays till college starts. But even next Saturday with the Bucs game, and there's a bunch of other games, there will be football of some form on every single weekend through February of 2023. And so I'll be watching Raiders-Jags tonight, and I will be placing a small wager, as per my tradition, for the Hall of Fame game, because that's the beauty of preseason football. People say, oh, well, who cares? Yeah, you're right. It's cool when you don't have football yet, and then like 15 minutes into it, maybe less, you're like, okay, I'm bored. You know, let's start the season. I get that, but man, it's a whole lot better than not having anything at all. And all you gotta do is I'm gonna put $10 on it or something like that. And all of a sudden, I'm dialed into the fourth quarter with guys who will be coaching my son's PE class next week, running routes, trying to decide who covers the spread. That's what I'm looking forward to. It's gonna be fun. I've got plenty. This is why I say I need to get a life, because every other weeknight, I'm like, oh, all right, whatever. Let's just go to the sooner I go to bed, I guess the sooner it'll be the next day. You know, that drudgery. I've got plans tonight. That's how I feel about a preseason football game simply because it's nationally televised. I feel like I have plans tonight. Yeah. And we're going to dinner before that, too. But hey, that's the appetizer. Then we get home, football. And the Rays play, too. That's why it's the best time of year. Because I'm not one of those, I don't care about baseball people. I love baseball, but I like having it all going on. You get baseball, getting to the best part of its season, the pennant races and the playoffs eventually and all that. Football gets going. You're going to have hockey coming in October. These next few months, man, that's the good stuff. And so just being on the cusp of it in August. August is always a weird month because it's a month of such promise. And it's funny how you look at life. All right, maybe everybody looks at it differently depending on what your job is and things like that. But with me, I distinctly remember like being a kid. And when you're a kid, the whole rhythms of your calendar work off of what? The school calendar, right? So, you know, school starts in August or September, and then that's school. And then your next big thing is Thanksgiving break, and then that happens, and then it's Christmas break. Then you come back for the new year. Then you get a couple months there, spring break, then it's summer vacation. And, you know, all the way through really college, that's kind of the flows of it, you know, like you think. And then once you don't have school and it's just a year-round thing, I don't know about you guys, but like everything just blends together. Like I can tell you distinct things about my life, distinct time periods of my life, and you can name like, hey, tell me what was going on in, you know, July of 1997. I could pinpoint exactly what was going on. I can't tell 2015 from 2018 from 2013. It all blends together because there's no like structure, right? Like it just all blends together. I, you know, whether I was doing sports radio or whether it's, you know, and my kids' school calendar, I kind of think about that too. But, you know, now I go off sports calendar. That's basically what's replaced the school calendar as the kind of structure of my life is the sports calendar, as far as just trying to like think of when things were like, if you said, hey, what was going on in, you know, January of 2014, I'll squint. I'll be like, huh? I don't know. Then I'll say, okay, well, who was in the Super Bowl that year? Because that was the Super Bowl. Okay, then maybe I can remember from there. But that's really it. I mean, other than that, it's all just an endless loop. You know how middle age is, right? I mean, that's what it is. I'm not complaining, by the way. I'm just saying it's different. And it is, but not in a bad way. So we get football starting. And like I said, you may have already, if you've listened to this after Thursday, the game's already happened. But there'll be more, and the Bucs will play next Saturday. So next week's show will be like on that regular game schedule. I'll do the Thursday show. We got a Saturday game. I will be there at Raymond James Stadium next Saturday for Bucs Dolphins. But we'll talk about all that next week on the show. Plus, the Bucs and Dolphins are going to be having the joint practices all week here in Tampa at One Buck Place leading up to the game next Saturday night. As far as league news, though, I guess the biggest thing going on is the Deshaun Watson thing, which I don't know why it had to take so long and this whole drawn-out thing, but here was my biggest take on the Deshaun Watson thing. I know everybody was, like, completely shocked and, oh, my God, I can't believe it's only six games and blah, blah, blah. Of course, now there's appeals and still could very well be a full season. What I saw, too, and this was interesting, I didn't think of it this way. I think it's a silly way to go about things, but you know, the Browns play at Houston in week 13. And so there is some talk, and it's been kind of backed up by, like, people that are, like, you know, like Schefter was on and a few other of these NFL guys who are close with guys in the league, where there's legitimate, you know, truth to this, that the NFL, at the very least, does not want Deshaun Watson to play in Houston in that week 13 game. They just don't think that's a good idea. So they want the suspension to be, or a week 12 game, I should say. They want the suspension to be at least 12 weeks. That way he does not play until after that game has already taken place on the schedule. Now, you might think that's a fine number to begin with, 12 games, and that's fine. I think it's silly to base it on that, though. If they were so worried about that, they could have put that game earlier in the season when they made the schedule. They had to have been thinking ahead on this. But anyway, you know what my main takeaway is, the Deshaun Watson thing? I'll tell you what it is. I tweeted this a few days ago. All right. Six games, okay, whatever, you know, I mean, I'm not condoning anything he did, but I mean, I think we get too caught up in the exact number of games sometimes. You know what I think about when I think of Deshaun Watson getting six games? I think of the fact that Josh Gordon got 58 games. In one way or another, what it ended up being after all was said and done, 58 games for Pot. Which is, and I'm not defending Josh Gordon. It wasn't a straight 58-game suspension. Obviously, he was given multiple chances, and it added up to 58 games. But the point is, marijuana, okay? 58 games. A career. And, I mean, to this day, that boggles my mind more than any of this stuff with, oh, Deshaun Watson gets six games, 12 game, blah, 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 blah. It's just so backwards and messed up. It'll never cease to amaze me. And how there was a time, and I think it's, you know, that time has passed and public opinion has been turning on this for some time, but there was a time when we all thought it was normal. Oh, I smoke pot. Oh, well, you know, he's out. 58! Deshaun Watson may get six. He may get 12. He may get the full 17. You know, I don't care, honestly. But either way, that's what I think about when I think of the whole Deshaun Watson thing. So anyway, folks, that's enough for today. We'll be back next week. We are going to be back to normal now. So we're back on the rhythms of it, the weekly schedule. And I can't thank everybody enough for listening to the show. It's been a fun summer. It's time to get down to business, all right? So thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford for taking care of the show. Thanks to our good friends at JoeBucksFan.com, the Joes, for giving me this platform. It's an honor and a privilege to get in front of all of you on the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere, JoeBucksFan.com, every week. Thanks to all of you for listening. Like I said, take the weekend, okay? Get your stuff done, whatever chores, the house, any home improvement, whatever it is. This is your last officially open weekend. There are football games from here on through the new year, all right? So you're pretty much just shut down after this. Have fun with it. Be safe. I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.
You down. I walk around and see you now.